My not feeling well is more vision related, so nobody besides me get excited about that. I'm pretty excited about it. It's good to see everybody here this morning and out. This morning, a little boy in a Sunday school class was once asked by his teacher to lead prayer one Sunday morning. It was for the first time, and besides being asked by his family at home to lead prayer, so he was a little bit caught off guard and nervous. So she had asked him to prayer, and he started his prayer like he did every prayer that he led publicly. Dear Heavenly Father, please bless this food that we are about to eat. And of course, the other kids in the class laughed, and the teacher reminded everybody that nobody was going to eat anything. But the little boy prayed, thanking God for his food, because that was one of the primary themes, maybe at that time, the only theme of his prayers. And we all start out that way. Or maybe it's prayers before bed. That's our first experience with prayer. And then as we grow older, there are other themes that begin entering into our prayers. We thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my friends. Petitioning God for safe travels. Petitioning God for the healing on behalf of family and friends. And here's what I've discovered about the way Christians pray. We pray about what we care about. Is that true? We pray about what we care about. So our prayers tend to say a lot about us. If we were just to stop and think, what are the primary themes of our prayers? I think it would reveal a lot about us. What you care about. What do you think a lot about? What's really important to you? What is at the center of your life? And so I'll ask the question at the beginning this morning, and we'll think about it going through, but continue thinking about it on throughout this week. Based on the common themes of your prayers, who or what is at the center of your life? If our prayers say a lot about us, if our prayers tell us what we care about, then if we look at the themes of our prayers, we might say, this reveals who or what is at the center of my life. When I pray, when you pray, we tend to pray about my friends, my family, my food, my house, my car, my travels, my life. So at the center of my life, if all my prayer themes begin with my, and I'm not saying that there is anything wrong to pray about those things, but we tend to have very little prayers or very small prayers that revolve around us, don't we? At least I do. I tend to have prayers that revolve around me, my family, my travels, my health, my friend's health, my family's health, my country, my feelings, my hopes, my dreams, my fears. And I have to ask, am I at the center of my life? Am I at the center of my prayer life? Then I might have to be the center of my regular life as well. And we have to understand that Jesus, though, teaches us a different way to pray. When Jesus teaches his apostles to pray, you'll notice that it doesn't start with my, but with your. If we look at a passage that we all know well, if we turn over to Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray. He even begins this passage by saying, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And just notice that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And I'll tell you, to be honest, I grew up sort of adverse to the people who recited prayers. I felt like prayers should come from a person's heart, that needed to be something that was spontaneous, that it needed to be made up on the spot. And again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with doing that, but there is something to be said for the fact that for 2,000 years that Christians have not only believed that Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, but that this prayer itself ought to be prayed. it sort of gives us tracks to run on. I think about songs. If I were to call somebody up and say, come up here and lead a song, all of us in this room would expect that person to lead a song out of the book. And if not out of the book, one that we already knew. We wouldn't expect somebody to get up here and lead a song and make it up on the spot. But that's exactly what we do to ourselves and expect of ourselves when it comes to prayer. Both in our private prayers and in our public prayers, we tend to make up prayers on the spot. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of good in that. And a lot of our prayers should be like that. But we sort of default to certain ways of praying, don't we? When we just pray whatever is on our heart and on our mind, when we sort of make it up on the spot, we sort of default to praying about my life and my health and my family and friends and country and what's going on in my world. Again, my hopes and dreams and fears. Our prayers tend to be very small. And Jesus teaches us to have bigger prayers. Prayers that focus on God's name. That His name might be hallowed on the earth. That the world might come to know and respect the name of God. Prayers that revolve around His kingdom and His kingdom coming. Prayers revolving around God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, I don't want you to get me wrong. It is good to pray about our family's health. And it is good to pray and thank God for everything that He has given to us. It's good to be specific in prayers. But we have to ask, who is at the center of our prayer lives? Jesus teaches His disciples to have prayers that revolve around God, around the name of God, around the will of God, and around the glory of God. And I was thinking of this prayer and the fact that I'm trying to incorporate this prayer into my prayer life. And not every single night, but a lot of nights. I start with the Lord's Prayer because that's tracks for me to run on. And I want my prayers to be bigger than bless this food that I'm about to eat. I want to have a prayer life that revolves around the name of God, the glory of God, the kingdom of God, and the will of God being accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. I want us to have prayers with a great big vision that revolves around a great big God. And I was thinking about the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, that he taught His disciples how to pray. And then I was thinking about this prayer that we see in John chapter 17. Sometimes we call it the high priestly prayer. And the similarities between the outline of the prayer that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 6 and Jesus' actual prayer that He prays here to His Father in John chapter 17. We're gonna spend the rest of our time in the first five verses of John chapter 17 this morning. And again, this is the night that Jesus is going to be betrayed. The whole Gospel of John has been building up to everything that's going to happen on this very night. Jesus, when He had spoken and taught His disciples about what was coming and what was going to happen and what life was going to be like and about the Spirit that was going to come and guide and help them, He lifted His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. And again, this is a theme that runs all throughout John. Jesus keeps saying, my hour is not yet come. My hour is coming. And finally He prays, my hour has come. For what? To glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. Again, a few weeks ago, we talked about glory, and we talked about how glory is more than just praising. Sometimes we think glorify just means to say nice things about or to thank or to praise God, but it's more than that. Glory has to do with the status and reputation, especially as it pertains to a king. So think about what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, glorify the Son, that the Son might glorify the Father. May glorify You. And think about what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's Prayer. Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when Jesus is praying about Himself being glorified, that is to be lifted up and to be given status and to be given reputation, a position of rulership and as King, Lord, God, Father, make me King. Why? so that you will be glorified, so that your kingdom will come. Isn't that what Jesus' ministry is all about? Is to bring about the kingdom of God, or to bring about the kingdom of heaven. And that's exactly what he's praying about here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But when Jesus prays, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, he's saying, lift me up to the position of authority and power. And especially here in the Gospel of John, where is that position of being lifted up? It's on the cross. He's saying, lift me up on the cross. Glorify me. Make me king. Not for my own sake. Jesus isn't doing any of this for his own sake, but that through his glorification, through his being lifted up, through him being crowned as king, God the Father may be glorified, that the Son may glorify you. So here's the question I've been running through my brain all week. Is the glory of God, the glory, the status, the reputation, the kingship, is the glory of God, God's reign as king, a major theme in my prayers? Is the glory of God, God's status, his rulership, the hallowing of his name, the respect for his name, his kingdom come, is that a major theme in your prayers? Not just thank you, God, that you've given me all this stuff and you give me a nice life, or please make my life nicer or more comfortable, but Father, my prayer is that you rule over more hearts and minds, that your kingdom come, God's glory, God's kingdom, God's name, God's reputation. In verse 2, he continues on, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus is saying, you've given me the authority to go into the world and to give people life for the age to come. That's what eternal life is, life for the age to come. You've given me the authority. You're going to give me the kingship and the rulership, the glory. You're going to lift me up so that I can continue to give eternal life, life in the age to come. And this is how people are going to have that life, is through knowing you and knowing me. Is eternal life and knowledge of God major themes in your prayers? Are we praying things like, may the world come to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ? Is that something you pray? Again, I think I have to be taught to pray that. Anybody that believes in any kind of God would naturally pray for their own food, their own family, their own people, their own tribe, their own country. Everybody would automatically pray for their own stuff. But the followers of Jesus means that we are to have bigger prayers, that we are praying things like this, that we are praying that the world might come to know God through Jesus Christ, his Son, that people in our community might. Do we pray that? Do we pray, Father, we want Colcord, Oklahoma, we want Delaware County, we want our corner of Benton County, Arkansas, all of our immediate area, we want these people that do not know you through Jesus Christ, that they might have life for the age to come, that they might come to know you, that they would want to come and know and experience what we know and what we experience. But are we praying even bigger than that? Are we praying for the people in our state? Are we praying for the people in our country? Are we praying for the people in this world? If you don't have Paul from India on your Facebook, I encourage you. He's a worthy follow. That is our family. This praising God in every tongue. People all over the world, every tribe, every nation are coming together to know God through Jesus Christ, his Son. That experiencing eternal life, not just in the future, but that they have and are experiencing eternal life now because they know the Father and they know the Son just as we do. Are we praying that more and more people experience that? And yes, all of us, me, have a bad day, and all I can pray for is, God, just get me through this day. I need a better day tomorrow. I get that. But are we praying big prayers? Are we praying evangelistic prayers, mission-minded prayers, praying for people all over the world that have yet to come to know God through Jesus Christ, His Son? These are the things in which Jesus was praying for on the night which he was betrayed. Not just about his own pain and suffering, but the mission. The mission that the Father had sent him to accomplish. And in verse 4 he says, I glorified you on earth. I lifted you up. I established your kingdom, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with glory that I had with you before the world existed. Again, it sounds almost identical to what Jesus taught the disciples to pray in Matthew. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I accomplished the work you gave me to do. I glorified you on earth. I did what you gave me to do. I walked in the good works that you have prepared beforehand in which I should walk. I did it. I accomplished the work you gave me to do. Do these things run through our prayers? How often do we pray, Father, you have set good works before me today for me to do? Isn't that what Paul says in Ephesians 2? That he has prepared good works for you and I to walk in them? That we have a mission? That we have a purpose? And it's bigger, and it's better, and it's more cosmic, and it's more epic than just being comfortable in living the American dream. It's bigger than just those things, and we have this epic purpose that's been laid out before us, that God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we pray, God, strengthen me? Father, strengthen me through your Spirit and through your Son, that I may walk in the good works that you have prepared for me to do. I want to accomplish your will on earth as it is in heaven. I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's what I tend to pray. Thank you for allowing me to be part of what you are doing in this world. I'm pretty glad just to be on God's team. I know that if we were to be picking up teams, certainly now at this age, if we were to be picking teams, I'd be pretty low on your pick list. Or I would hope so, or you'd have problems on picking teams. But that's not how God judges things, not by anything of our physical lists. If we are picking teams as kids, I'd be low on your list, but God tells us all that he wants us on his team. Personally, individually, he has a purpose for all of us. He has a calling for us. He has a mission for us. And you are part of what God is doing in this world. And whatever your task is, whatever your opportunities are, those are the things God wants you to accomplish. And he will give you strength, and he will give you the opportunity and the open doors to accomplish those things. But these must be major themes in our prayers. Shouldn't they be? That I'm part of what God is doing in this world. You are part of what God is doing in this world. I believe that every single person that we come into contact with, God loves them. And whether they are his child or not, through Jesus Christ, he is working on them. He wants to draw them to himself. And you and I are part of that. Every cashier at the store, every person at work that we work with, we're at school, we're just a small part of God working in their life. We should be saying, thank you, God, for allowing us to be a part of what you are doing in this world. Give us the strength to help accomplish your will on earth, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here's some questions. Are these major themes in your prayers? Is the glory and reign of God a major theme? Father, be glorified in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Is that a major theme in your prayers? And again, this is confession time for me, because these aren't always major themes in my prayers, but they should be. Number two, knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. May the world come come to know you. May the world come to hallow your name, to respect and to revere your name. May the world come to have eternal life by knowing you and knowing your Son, Christ Jesus. Are these major themes in your prayers? And maybe not even general like that, like may the world, but like George or Susie or Fred or neighbors that you know. May they come to know you. May they come to hallow your name. May they come to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And number three, the will of God being accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. Give me the strength to do your will. Give me the strength to walk in the good works that you have prepared for me to do. Give me the strength that I might fulfill the calling that I have been called. So here's our moment of truth question this morning. Does God occupy the center stage of your prayer life? And that question has kind of bugged me all week. Do I occupy center stage of my prayer life? Is it always about my stuff, my things, my hopes, my dreams, my fears, my kingdom? Or is it about our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we pray about ourselves, may our prayers about ourselves revolve around the kingdom and the will and the glory of God. Because again, here's what I think. People who have lives that revolve around the kingdom and the glory and the will of God have prayers that revolve around the kingdom and the glory and the will of God. If these aren't things in which we are praying for, then they're probably not goals that we are trying to accomplish. They're not things that we are trying to live out. And as we talk about this chapter over the next few weeks, hopefully changing the way we pray, it's about more than just our prayer life. This affects more than just our prayers. If we become the kind of people that have prayers that revolve around God, where God is center stage in our prayer life, where we are praying that God's will be accomplished here on earth and that God be glorified and that His kingdom come and His will be done, if we become those kind of people that these are major themes in our prayer lives, imagine how that changes our everyday life as well. Imagine how that changes the way we live when this is the way that we pray. Maybe this morning there's someone here and then you need to become a part of what God is doing in this world. That's part of what happens at baptism, isn't it? Not only are our sins washed away where we are sanctified to become priests in the world, to go out into the world and to mediate between God and man. That's not just my job. That's an every Christian job, to draw people closer to the Father and to bring the Father closer to the people, to lift up praises of humanity to God, to bring Him sacrifices of our hearts and lips, our lives as living sacrifices to Him. That's the mission we are set upon when we are baptized into Jesus. But sometimes things happen along the way and we lose sight and we become bogged down and things seem to pile down upon us. And sometimes it's just a bad day and we need someone to pray with and for us. You are part of our lives. You are part of what God is doing in this world, and there's nothing more than if you need help for us to be able to provide help to you. If that is the case, please come as together we stand and we sing.